Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. So we had class last week. We have class this week. That's because the sponsor and hostess of the shiur is not available next week. So we did a double class, and then it will become every other week again. I thank everyone for joining. We thank our sponsor and her family to bring a lot of schusim to you and your whole family for besuros tovos, a lot of shabbosos to celebrate in good health with kedusha and only nachas. So we will continue where we left off our learning last week. For those who have the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, we are on page 37, and we are starting a new topic, subtopic in this chapter. On Shabbos, there are no requests, just a relationship. So we know that the Amidah, for example, is different on Shabbos than it is the whole rest of the week. The Shemona Esrei does not have that whole middle section of Bakashos. In fact, there are some who conclude benching by Al Yechasreinu. They do not go further because they do not make requests. Or Rachamani Vusein B'Chavod, for example, they don't make requests on Shabbos. So we know that on Shabbos there are no requests. There is just our relationship with Hashem. Among the special halachos of Shabbos, right, so of Shem Pinkas, or I should say teaches Rav Pinkas, among the special halachas of Shabbos is the prohibition of praying for the recovery of a sick person. So in the weekday Amidah, we have a bracha of Rifa'enu, of course, heal us. There's a special Yehi Ratzon that many of us, I presume, add with names of cholim who are in need of Refuah Shleima. On Shabbos, we do not daven for the recovery of a sick person. We don't pray for Refuah, healing on Shabbos, unless the situation is serious. So of course, everyone should ask, I'm not here to define the halacha parameters. I'm quoting from the Sefer, unless the situation is serious, in which case we are permitted to say Tehillim for the ill person. But then Rav Pinkas quotes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Yud Beis, and the Gemara says, Shabbos is not a day for crying. Shabbos is not a day for crying out, and the healing will arrive quickly. Shabbos is capable of showing compassion. So if you see that the footnote says, that's from Masechah Shabbos, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So what I'm going to do, which is what I did last week, is I looked up the Gemara to see the source inside, and I'm going to quote from the Gemara inside. The last thing we read is that Shabbos is not a day for crying out. So let us see what the Gemara has to say about this topic that Rav Pinkas has just quoted from. 1 second, wrong sticky. Here we go. Okay. So we know that we do not have Refa'enu, we don't say that Yehi Ratzon, we don't have special requests on Shabbos, and Pinkas is going to teach us why we don't have requests. He begins with the example that we don't pray for a chole on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan. So I'm in Masechah Shabbos, Yud Beis, Amud Aleph. It continues into Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in the Braisa. Hanichnas Levaker Es HaChola. He who enters the sick, someone who goes to visit the sick, Omer, what should he say? So why should you say anything at all? Interestingly, I've heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say that part of the halacha of Bikur Cholim, when you go to Levaker at HaChola, to visit the sick person, part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, Bikur Cholim, is not only to visit, but to actually give the sick person a bracha, or in this case, a tefillah, to specifically say Hashem should send you a Refuah Shleima. That is and again, I'm quoting Rabbi Shechter, that is an integral component of the mitzvah, Bikur Cholim, to utter a tefillah, that Hashem should send the Chola a Refuah Shleima. And I heard him say that if you think that the Chola would be uncomfortable with you saying that to them, for whatever the reason, that when you leave the room, you stand outside the room and you are miskaved, Hashem should send this person a complete refuah shleima. So what should someone do if they go to visit the chola on Shabbos? Because Rav Pinkas introduces this section by saying there are no requests on Shabbos and references this Gemara. So Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in the Braisa, Hanichnas Levaker at HaChola Omer. When one enters to visit the sick person, specifically on Shabbos, what should they say? They should say, Shabbos hi milizok urefuah kirova lavo. Shabbos hi milizok, from the word za'aka, Zion, Ayin, Zayin, Ayin, Kuf, Lizok, Tza'aka, Za'aka, to call out, to scream out. Shabbos, Himilizok. It's Shabbos now, we say. We are prevented from crying out. Urefua krova lava, but recovery will come soon. So what does Rashi on the Gemara say? Shabbos, Himilizok. Tzarich laharchiv da'atam bitanchanu, bitan, Chumim shelo yitzarvu. You need to broaden their mind. You need to bring them some yishuv adas. You need to bring them some tranquility of their mind with comforting words, so they should not have tsar. So even though you're not allowed to technically pray for their refua, you should say words of comfort so that you can shelo yitzarvu, so that they should not be in a place of tsar. Anguish, agmas nefesh. So you say, Shabbos hi melizok, it's Shabbos, we're prevented from calling out, urefua kurova lavo, but surely the refua shalema will soon be coming. And the art scroll footnote says, we are, quoting the Ran, we are not allowed to pray to God on his behalf. But why? So the Ran gives a very interesting reason as to why you're not allowed to pray for refua shalema on Shabbos, because such prayer would arouse weeping and sorrow. So sometimes, unfortunately, when you have such a long list, Hashem Yerachem Aleinu, or any kind of list of cholim, sometimes, unfortunately, you might say just the names by rote. And if we're really thinking about the pain of the chola, it will bring us to a place of such agmas nefesh ourselves, says the Ran, that we will come to a place of weeping and sorrow. And since you're not allowed to be in that state on Shabbos, we don't daven. Very interesting chiddush as to why we can't daven for a chola on Shabbos. So what do? We offer words of hope to lift the spirits, even though Shabbos hi melizok, even though we can't call out on Shabbos, refua krova lavo, surely we have bitachon, we have trust and faith in God that the refua of Shalemo comes soon. Next, the art scroll fitno now quotes the Maharsha. Now this is fascinating. This next nakuda teaches you the power of prayer. Why are you giving the sick person comfort on Shabbos when you cannot daven for their refuah shleima? Listen to this. A sick person might mistakenly believe Shabbos delays, pushes off his recovery, because were not for the Shabbos, people would pray for him. So what does that mean? The koach tefillah is so strong that the chola believes that if not for Shabbos, people would be davening for him, and his refuah shleima would come quicker. It teaches you the power of prayer. We therefore reassure him by saying, although we are not allowed to daven for refuah shleima on Shabbos, recovery will come soon, and therefore, says the Maharsha, his recovery is as likely to come on Shabbos without tefillah, from the power of Shabbos itself, as it would during the week with tefillah. What should one say when visiting the mourner on Shabbos? Art scroll footnote, quoting the Mishnah Brura, Shabbos hi milinachem v'nachama krova lavo. Shabbos, it's Shabbos, Shabbos hi, it's Shabbos milinachem. We are prevented from offering nechama, v'nechama krova lavo, just like it's the same girsa really as the refuah shleima. It's Shabbos, it's asur to daven for refuah shleima, but certainly the refuah will come. It's Shabbos, it's asur to offer nichum aveilim, but surely the nechama will come. We do not want to become in such a state of sadness and overcome with sorrow because today is Shabbos. So that's the first teaching of the Gemara. Hanichnas levakar es hachola o Omer Shabbos hi milizok urefua krova lavo. We explained it. We saw Rashi, we saw the Ran and the Maharsha and the Mishnah Brura, and what one should say if you visit the bereaved person. Continues the Gemara. V'Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says Yecholah shehi terachem. You should say the Shabbos itself can have mercy and bring your recovery, and that's exactly what Rav Pinkas quotes in the Sefer. Did I lose my pace? No. That's exactly what it quotes. Shabbos is capable of showing compassion. Rav Shimshon Pinkas quotes us in this teaching. Shabbos is capable of showing compassion. The Lashon of the Gemara is, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yechola hi shetirachem. Shabbos is capable of showing rachamim, of showing compassion. Rashi says, Yechola hi shetirachem. Shabbos itself can show you compassion. How can Shabbos show you compassion in your state of illness, lo aleinu? Im techabduha milehitzta erbo. If you honor Shabbos by not having pain, by putting your tsa'ar aside, if you honor Shabbos properly, by putting your pain, your agmas nefesh, your sorrow, your tsa'ar aside, then Shabbos will show you mercy. Art scroll footnote, quoting the Rashi and the Rif, the sick person is told if he honors Shabbos by ignoring his pain, because the whole Indian of Shabbos is to delight in the kavod of the Shechina that comes to our house and not to focus on painful situations. So if we put our pain aside, in that merit he will be healed soon, and Shabbos itself will show him rachamim. The point is explicitly made. Shabbos does not delay recovery. On the contrary, it can hasten recovery even without the aid of prayer. Once again, that's the Maharsha. So Rabbi Meir says, what should you say to the Chola? Yichola shehi terechem. You should add a teaching. Even though it's Shabbos, and it's also to pray for your refuah shleima, Shabbos itself can show you mercy, can have mercy on you. How so? Says Rashi, by putting my tsar aside and properly honoring the Shabbos, Shabbos will have mercy upon us. Continues the Gemara, Yud Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, what should you say to the sick person? Hamakom Yerachem Alecha Va'al Chole Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda offers a different text of what you should say to the Chola on Shabbos. Hamakom Yerachem Alecha. May the Makom, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Makom of the world, the place of the world, may Hamakom have mercy upon you, Va'al Chole Yisrael. And also on the other sick in Israel, Rabbi Yossi says, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha B'soch Chole Yisrael. So it's two different texts that are very similar. Rabbi Yehuda, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha, Va'al Chole Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi's text is Hamakom Yerachem Alecha B'soch Chole Yisrael. So Rabbi Yossi, Art Scroll footnote, recommends a formula that groups the sick person with others. In both cases, really, Va'al Chole Yisrael B'soch Chole Yisrael. You're now grouping this Chola B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael with the rest of the sick of Israel. Why? Because a prayer offered on behalf of many people is more likely to be accepted than a prayer offered on behalf of the individual. And in fact, that's what Rashi says. Rashi on the Gemara says, Shemitoch shekololan im ha'acherim, because you include this chola, who is before you in his sick state, not only for his own individual self, but because you include him with others, tfiloso nishma'as, the tefillah is heard, the request for compassion is heard, bizchusan shel rabim, in the merit of many. There is more power to the tefillah offered in the merit of many than the tefillah offered on behalf of one. So according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, you should group the chola with the sick person. Going back to the Art Scroll footnote, in Rabbi Yossi's opinion, the formula proposed by Rabbi Yehuda is essentially a dual prayer, one for the sick person and one for others. So, now you might have a question. I thought we said you're not allowed to daven for the sick person on Shabbos, but now it seems to be that we are davening for the sick person on Shabbos. In fact, Rashi says, listen to the Lashon of Rashi, Shemitok shekololan im ha'acherim tfilaso. Listen to that word, tfilato, tfilaso, nishmas b'zchus hanshel rabim. Because you include the cholo with others, the tefillah is heard in the merit of the many. But didn't we just say on Yud Beis Amud Aleph that you're not allowed to daven for the cholo on Shabbos? Are we davening for the cholo? Are we not davening for the cholo? However, interesting, the Art Scroll footnote, quoting the Maharsha, explains, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, these two texts of including the Chola with others in Israel, they do agree with the previously quoted Tanaim, who hold you may not pray for the sick person on Shabbos. So what are they doing? According to the Maharsha, these words are permitted, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha Va'al Chole Yisrael, or Rabbi Yossi, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha B'soch Chole Yisrael. Why are these words permitted? This is interesting, because according to the Maharsha, what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are teaching is you direct these words to the sick person and not to God. Therefore, they don't constitute a real prayer. We don't daven to a person, chas v'shalom. We don't daven to any other being besides to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, I've heard Rabbi Schechter say that one of the halachas of Bikur Chum, it's not enough to say you should have a refuah shleima. You must say Hashem should send a refuah shleima. Hashem should send you a refuah shleima. Again, and he said, if you think the chol is going to be uncomfortable for whatever reason, do it outside the room. But you must daven to Hashem as part of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim for Hashem to send a refuah shleima to the chola. So how do we reconcile the seeming difference in the Gemara? May you daven for the sick person on Shabbos? May you not? So the answer is no. So what about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? You're giving the person a bracha. It's not a tefillah to Hashem. You're saying to the person, Hamakom Yerachem Alecha, which is not the same thing as Hashem, please send this person a refuah shleima. Rather, you're addressing the person saying, you should be shown divine mercy. You should be shown Rachamei Shemayim amongst the sick of Israel, and including him amongst the sick of Israel gives more power to the bracha because we are concerned with the klal as a whole. One more teaching from the Gemara here. Shevna Ish Yerushalayim Bechni Saso, excuse me, Omer. Shavna Yishu Yerushalayim. Who was Shavna, Rashi says? Shavna was Adam Gadol Hayab Yerushalayim. Ushmo Shavna. There was a very important man, an Adam Gadol, in Yerushalayim, and his name was Shavna. So the Gemara teaches, what would this Shavna do when he would enter to visit a sick person? He was a prominent man in Yerushalayim. Shavna Ish Yerushalayim. When he would enter to visit a sick person on Shabbos, what would he say? One word, Shalom. Shalom. Shalom has so many connotations. First of all, Shalom is one of the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to quote that from the Art School footnote soon, but I'm sure that many of you are aware of that as well. We've all learned that before. He would say, this Shavna, this important Adam Gadol B'Yerushalayim, would say Shalom. So Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. Shalom, of course, means peace. And Shalom is from the word Shlemus. So what you're really wishing this person is a completion. What is wrong with me today? A completion, a wholesomeness. Shalom, he would say, Yitziaso Omer, and when Shavna was leaving the Chola, he would say, Shabbos hi milizok, which is what we saw previously on the previous Amud. Shabbos is, we're prevented from crying out, Urefua krova lavo, but Refua Shalema would come soon, but he would end by saying, Virachamav mirubin, God's mercies are many. So he would say what we learned on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, as taught by Tana Rabbana, the rabbis taught on the Braisa. What you should say is Shabbos hi milizok, the Shabbos. We can have za'aka. We can call out to God today. However, urefua krova lavo, certainly the refua shalema will come soon. The rachamav mirubin. He would add, God's mercies are many. Rashi says, "Who? What is rachamav? In case you're not sure, shalom kodesh baruch hu mirubim. The mercy of a kodesh baruch hu is so bountiful." Shavna would say to this person, Vishivsu b'shalom, Vishivsu, like from Shabbat, Shabbos, Vishivtu, Vishivsu b'shalom. And therefore, it's Shabbos, you should rest in peace. Rashi and the Gemara says, Shivsu b'shalom, Nochol b'shabsechem l'shalom. You should have a rest, Noach, Menuchas hadas, if you will, Nochol b'shabsechem l'shalom. You should rest on your Shabbos in peace. All right, scroll footnote. What was Shavna saying? God's mercy is so great, He will heal you even without our prayer. So I think that this passage, besides for teaching us, interestingly, this piece of the Gemara, besides for teaching us what we may and what we may not say to the Chola who we visit on Shabbos, how we may offer a bracha but not a tefillah, what is the text of what we should and we should not say, it also teaches us the great power of our tefillos. Imagine the sick person might think the refuah shalema will be pushed off because people are not davening for me. So imagine the power of every prayer uttered on behalf of every chola. There are cholei hanefesh, rachman otzan, there are cholei haguf, and we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam to heal them. Our tefillos have tremendous power. So, art school footnote, God's mercy is so great, v'rachamav mirubin, Shavna would say, do not worry, you're saying to the sick person, because Hashem is so much rachamim, He will heal you, even though people are not praying for you today. All that you have to do is observe the Shabbos in peace. Vishivsu b'shalom. Sit and observe the Shabbos in peace, and the refuah shalema will come. Shavna states, one should begin and end the visit with the word shalom. Again, listen to Shavna's text of what he would say when visiting the sick person. He would enter and he would say, shalom. That's what he came in. And how would he take leave? He would say, Shabbos hi milizok, urefua krova lavo, v'rachamav mirubin, v'shivsu b'shalom. I translated the whole thing already, including Rashi and footnotes, so I'm not doing so again. But the point now is that he began his visit with the word shalom, and the last thing he said when he ended was, shalom. So, Shavna states, I'm still quoting from the Art School footnote now, that one should begin the visit with Shalom, and one should end, the last thing you say is Shalom. This is again for Shabbos. Although praying to God on behalf of a sick person is prohibited on Shabbos, one is allowed to greet him with the word Shalom, which is the name of God. So that's what I mentioned in the beginning when we started this teaching by Shavna. So you are invoking Shem Hashem in a sort of indirect way, if you will. Shalom has a dual meaning. It means peace unto you. It means you should have shleimus or wholesomeness or completion, but also in the visit, you are calling up the merits of calling upon the Ribbono Shel Olam. You begin with Shalom, which is the name of God. You end with Shalom, which is the name of God, and you tell him, Vishivsu B'Shalom. It's really a play on what's said today, especially in Israel, Shabbat Shalom, Vishivtu B'Shalom. So it's a bracha that the Ribbono Shel Olam really should let him access and have his rest on Shabbos. Okay, so that is the Gemara. The Rashi and footnotes, the Ram, the Meharsha, etc. Going back to our Sefer. On Shabbos, says Rav Pinkas, we do not pray for Rafu on Shabbos unless the situation is serious. Again, you must ask the Shaila. I'm not possibly. Be very careful when you can and cannot daven for a chol on Shabbos. Chas v'sham, way beyond the scope of anything I am permitted or capable of doing. Chazal say, and Rav Pinkas just quotes two English lines from the Gemara that we just looked at in depth. Shabbos is not a day for crying out. The healing will arrive quickly, as we have done in depth. Shabbos is capable of showing compassion. Okay, that was Rav Pinkas' quote from the Gemara. This means, and I'm going back to the Lashon of Rav Pinkas, that Shabbos itself can save us from trouble. Shabbos itself can save us from sickness, even without those bakashos in the Shemona Esrei. Re'ena v'anienu, we ask God to see our affliction and our sorrow. On Shabbos, we don't need those bakashos. Why not? Why is the Shemona Esrei changed? Why do some people stop by Al Yechasreinu and not continue? Because on Shabbos itself, says Rav Pinkas, Shabbos, can save us from troubles, and she can save us from sickness. Let us understand why we don't pray for material needs on Shabbos. So I thought it's very interesting. But Pinkas does not say, let us understand why we don't pray for our needs on Shabbos. He says, let us understand why we don't pray for material needs on Shabbos. So this reminded me of a teaching that I actually quoted earlier in the week in a different share. I'm not going to go through the whole article or essay, if you will, but I'm quoting from a sefer called Mitoch HaOhal, Tfilot Chol, sefer called Mitoch HaOhal, from within the tent, the weekday prayers. It's essays by Rabbanim and professors of Yeshiva University, put out by Maggid and Yeshiva University Press. So perhaps because I just taught this earlier this week, it was in my mind. I'm going to quote from a essay by Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. Okay, the last thing we read is that on Shabbos we don't pray for material needs. So we don't pray for Barech Aleinu as Hashanah Zos Letova, which is a bracha for Parnasa. We have just had a whole understanding of why we don't pray for Refuah on Shabbos. Those are all material needs. However, we do daven for spiritual needs. And Rav Pinkas, the Sefer, does not say we don't pray for our needs on Shabbos. It says we don't pray for material needs on Shabbos. So I'm quoting just a small piece of this essay from Rav Herschel Schechter, okay? In this book, Mitoch HaOhal, Rav Herschel Schechter, not making our prayers tachanunim. I'm not going through the whole essay, but Rav Herschel Schechter says, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when we delete all of the 13 brachas from Atochonein LaAdam Da'as, you grant man wisdom and understanding, through Shomei Tefillah, God is the one who hears our prayers, which contains our bakashos. So we do not have the bakashos on Shabbos that we have during the week. Nevertheless, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we must still have bakashos. What kind of bakashos? 1 second and we'll see. Because the essence of the Amidah prayer, the essence of standing in prayer, Amidah, standing in prayer before God, tefillah, is bakashos. But what kind of bakashos do we have on Shabbos? If we can't daven for Rifa'enu, like we just saw, and we can't daven for Nichum Avelim, like we just learned, and we don't daven for Parnasa, so what do we daven for if the essence of the Amidah is bakasha? So Rav Herschel Schechter points out, as such, the concluding paragraph of the middle bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov is, quote, full of bakashos. What kind of bakashos? All for spiritual needs that we have. And in fact, okay, if you look up, I'm just holding a sitter. I'm opening my sitter. If you look up, for example, in the Shachris, okay, the Amidah, the Shemona Esrei for Shachris, the Shabbos, the Yom Tov, here I am in my non, the Shalosh Regalim, but okay, Yismach Moshe, the beginning is the same as the weekday because it is Shavach, Tahashem. Then we say, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, Moshe rejoices in his portion. He is a trusty servant. He was called. That's praise. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael Shabbos. We have done that in depth in this class. Hashem did not give it to the goyim of the world. We should rejoice in your kingdom, those who honor the Shabbos. That's all praise. What do we say right before Ritzei? Is there any sort of bakasha? We always think there's no bakashos on Shabbos. Rav Hershel Schechter points out it's not true. There must be bakasha because the essence of Amida is bakasha. However, Rav Pinkas teaches we don't daven for our material needs on Shabbos. So everyone's masking with that. But what do we daven for? In the words of Rav Hershel Schechter, we daven for spiritual needs. Shabbos is the day to daven for your spiritual needs. Now, of course, you could daven for your spiritual needs on the weekdays as well. But the weekdays, the farmer's so busy in the field, and the teacher's so busy in the cheder, and the kohen is so busy in the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone is so busy with what, the shochet is so busy in the slaughterhouse, and everyone is so busy with living in a physical world. Sheishas yamim ta'aseh melacha. For 6 days you shall do your work. Vayom hashvii shavat. Cease. Vayinafash. Nefesh, restore your nefesh. So what are we daven for on Shabbos? Spiritual needs. And in fact, what does the paragraph in the Shachris, the Shabbos V'yom Tov, before it say? Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. Okay. Ritzei na b'menuchaseinu. Please, with grace, with goodwill, desire our rest. Kadsheinu b'mitzvasecha. What are we asking for? To be sanctified with mitzvos. What is this? With your mitzvos. What is this? A spiritual request. V'sein chalkeinu b'sorasecha. I am having a bakasha on Shabbos. I am asking to be sanctified with God's mitzvos. I am asking that my portion should be the portion of God's Torah. Sabeinu mituvecha. Satiate us, not with bread. Satiate us, not with water. Satiate us, not with steak. Sabeinu. What do we want the sova to come from? Mituvecha. From your goodness, Hashem. V'samach nafshenu, nafshenu. Our soul shall rejoice, b'yeshua secha, in your Yeshua. What does Moshe say in this week's parsha? Hisyatzavu ureu es Yeshua Hashem, asher ya'asa lachem hayom. Yeshua Hashem, stand by, stop screaming, don't panic. It's okay if the sea is here and the Egyptians are here. Yeshua Hashem, keharavayin. The salvation of God, and no matter what your troubles are, comes in the blink of an eye. But on Shabbos, we ask that the nefesh should be restored, should have simcha from the salvation of God. V'taher libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. And purify our hearts to serve you with truth. So we see that on Shabbos we do takad have bakashos. What kind of bakashos? Not bakashos of physical needs, which is exactly what Pinkas says. Let us understand why we don't pray for material needs on Shabbos, which brought to mind this essay by Rav Hershel Schechter, where he points out, you're right, we don't daven for material needs, but we definitely daven for spiritual needs. Says Rav Hershel Schechter, continuing with this one paragraph from his essay, instead of requesting of Hashem to take care of our physical needs, which is the whole middle section of the weekday Shemona Esrei, we ask him to satisfy all of our spiritual needs. The opening three brachos are considered shavach. They're the same as during the week. They are merely a prologue to the essence of tefillah. They're just a prologue. And based on that, you could say that the end of the Shemona Esrei, the hoda'ah, modim anachnu lach, the thanks is an epilogue. The essence of tefillah, I'm quoting, the essence of the tefillah, excuse me, is the bakashas tzrachim, or bakashat tzrachim. The essence of tefillah is asking for our needs. So if you're not asking for your needs, you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillah. But what kind of needs do we daven for? We do daven for our needs on Shabbos, contrary to what we think. We tend to think we don't daven for tzarkenu on Shabbos. It's not true. If you're not davening for your needs, then you're not fulfilling the essence of tefillah. However, during the week, we spend 6 days davening, yes, for our spiritual needs, but we're so caught up in the physical world. We ask Hashem to take care of us physically. When Shabbos comes, it's our nefesh that has a restoration, and we ask Hashem to take care of our spiritual needs. Continuing inside with the Sefer, there is a story, okay? There is a story about a very successful mishulach, a story about a tzedakah collector. Before approaching a wealthy potential donor, he would ask around about the man's family, the family history, and so on and so forth, further details, okay? Oh, okay. Bakasha means request. Levakesh. Masha elaseich umam bakasha seich. Adchatzi hamalchus. Ateas. What is your question and what is your request? Thank you for asking. Important. If I don't explain something, thank you for asking. Achashverosh said to Esther Malka, Masha elaseich. What is your question? Umam bakasha seich. Bakasha. What is your request? until half the kingdom I will give you. A bakasha is a request, okay? A supplication, a plea, levakesh. And he would say, levakesh mashu mimach. I want to ask of something for you. It's a supplication or an asking or a request. Okay, you're welcome, and thank you for asking the question. I didn't realize it wasn't clear, so I appreciate you stopping me. There's a story about a very successful mishulach, continues Reb Pinkus, a tzedakah collector. Before approaching a wealthy potential donor, he would ask around about the man's family, the family history, and so on and so forth. Then he would sit down, and he would converse with the fellow about his town, about his grandfather, about his uncle, about his business, about how things are going. Eventually, the wealthy man would say, did you come for something specific? The mishulach would say, no, not really, but it was sure nice talking to you. I'll come visit again. It's funny, it reminds me of a story in the Irving Bunin biography, which I'm reading now, which I'm enjoying so, so much, as I have mentioned already in many a shiurim. Wait, let me see. I wasn't planning. It just popped into my head, literally. I didn't think of it as I was preparing. It's a funny story. I found it. It's a funny story. Okay, so this mishulach, he was really a mishulach. He was there to collect money. But he would just sit down and he would hop a shmooze. So the wealthy man would say, are you, you know, here for like a certain amount? And the man would say, no, not really. It was nice talking to you. I'll come visit again. So this is a very funny story in regard to Irving Bunim Zichron Alevrecha, who was one of the major askanim. He was Rav Aaron Kotler's literally right-hand man the whole time in America as they worked together to save European Jewry and then build a Torah in America. After years, I wasn't planning to say this, but it's humorous. After years of, and it relates to the story I just told you. After years of continual fundraising activities, because he raised money for Torah Mesorah, he raised money for the Var Hatzalah, he raised money for Chinuch Atzma'i, he was very, very involved in communal affairs, in building Torah, in rebuilding Torah, and saving Jewry. This story is on page 299. Of a fire in his soul. Someone just asked me that story, so I should have said it. If you have this book, A Fire in His Soul, I highly recommend it. I've been recommending it a number of shiurim. It's fantastic. But it's on page 299. There's so much about Rav Aaron Kotler's Hatzal in here as well, the builder of Torah in Lakewood. Okay, after years of continual fundraising activities, Bunim had achieved such a reputation for giving, and he would also give tons of tzedakah, for giving and requested tzedakah, requesting, that to some, his voice on the telephone signaled a donation was about to be requested. One evening, his reputation worked against him. His wife, Blanche, had planned a social evening to introduce her single friends to her husband's single friends. They wanted to make shidduchim. She prepared her customary sumptuous table. Horses and wagons constructed from pastries to hold the food. It was a very fancy table. When the hour finally arrived, only the young woman came. After waiting quite a while, Mr. Irving Bunim was very embarrassed. He was puzzled. And he called one of his single male friends and he said, why didn't you come? The man cut him off, declaring, Irving, I don't have to come to your house. Just tell me how much you need and I'll send you a check. And so it went with all the others. So in other words, Irving Bunim called to invite them to his house for that evening. They all thought he was calling for money. So they said, what do I need to come to your house for? Just tell me how much you want and I'll send you a check. That's not why he called. In the future, Bunim decided he would take pains to announce when an evening was for social purposes only and not for fundraising for tzedakah. It reminded me of the story with the wealthy man and the mishulach. So the mishulach sits down and he's, you know, hopping a schmooze with the guy. How's your town? How's your grandfather? How's your uncle? Eventually, the wealthy man said, did you come for something specific? Mashiach said, no, I'm just going to come visit you again. And so it went. He would come repeatedly. Over time, he developed a warm relationship with a potential donor. After all was said and done, instead of a donation of $18, at the end of the day, he would walk out with $1,800. A similar story is told of the Brisker Rav Zatzal. He once approached a wealthy potential benefactor. He requested only 15 minutes of his time. During those 15 minutes, he just sat, he chatted, he began to develop a relationship with him without mentioning a word about the purpose of his visit at all. So there's a nimshel here to Shabbos. Don't forget, we're talking about not asking for a quest on Shabbos, not davening for refuah shleima, not asking for parnasa, not davening for material needs, only for spiritual needs. So there is a nimshel to this, which is on Shabbos, we just want to sit with Hashem. We don't ask for anything on Shabbos, not to give a refuah, not to give me a donation, Hashem, not to give me parnasa. We just sit with the Ribbono Shel Olam, developing a relationship. And when you develop a relationship with someone, that person ultimately wants to give. The nimshel should be very clear. We develop a relationship by basking and enjoying Hashem's company on Shabbos, that Hashem wants to give, just like the wealthy donor wants to give. He who develops a relationship with him, not just because you ask, but because now I have feelings of endearment towards you, and of course I want to contribute. It also reminded me of a story from the Rav Moshe biography, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Right? It was actually a story told over. Also, if you did read this, a beautiful, beautiful biography of Moshe, Art School, 25th Yahrzeit edition. The story actually was told over by Rav David Feinstein. Okay, Zecher Tzadik and Mektoshim Levracha. Rav David Feinstein related, one afternoon in the early 1990s, shortly before Shavuos, I completed my afternoon shir and I found someone waiting for me. He was dressed like a common laborer. I invited him into my office. In my office, I have a photograph of my father, Zatzal, hanging on the wall. The man looked up and he said, I also have that picture. He reached into his bag and he took out the book, the biography of Rav Moshe, and he said to Rav David, you see this book? This book is what made me become religious. How so? He told me a few years earlier, he had been fabulously wealthy, to the point where he was so wealthy he could have covered our yeshiva's entire budget. And I would have done it, he said. Now, however, he suffered major losses. He was no longer in that position. He left me a check, however, for the yeshiva for $500. And he said, this was before Shavuos, and he said before Rosh Hashanah, he would return. He returned before Rosh Hashanah. He was pleased when I recognized him. I even greeted him by name. He left another check for $500. After that, he returned often. Each time, he brought with him a donation. He was in the wholesale electronics business. He would bring us equipment, appliances to the yeshiva to make use of at our discretion. Excuse me. On one visit, he finally related how the book about my father inspired him to become a chozer b'teshuva. I read about his personality. I read about his midos. And I said to myself, this is a human being. If you're not like this, like Rav Moshe, then you're not a human being. I am not a human being. And so I became a Baal Teshuva. Around a year later, concludes Rav David, he passed away. He left the yeshiva a significant sum of money, and he died a Baal Teshuva. But of course, these two vignettes in the Rav Pinkas book reminded me of the story with Rav Moshe, because Rav David developed a relationship with this man. And through the book, he felt he developed a connection to Rav Moshe. And that's why he wanted to give more and more to the yeshiva. You know, had Rav David said, I just gave shir, I don't have time to talk to you, he was dressed like a common laborer, he was barely even religious. No, but the way of Gadol, of understanding, you draw people in. They didn't solicit funds. Rav David wasn't soliciting funds. Every time he came, he wanted to give. Rav David concluded, if this man would have viewed my father as a malach, as an angel with supernatural qualities, he would not have related to him. He would have said, if that man's a malach, I'm not a malach. I can't be an angel, so what do you want from me? He saw my father as a human being, and that's what made him want to emulate him. He saw him as a human being, and he understood he could emulate those midos. Okay, so here's a man who, because of a relationship, wanted to give more and more. So Rav David Feinstein, in the memory of Rav Moshe, you develop a relationship, you want to give. The Mashiach develops a relationship with the wealthy benefactor. He doesn't give 18, he gives 1,800. The Brisker Rav went to a wealthy man for a donation, and he just sat and he was warm with him. What's the Nimshal? This is actually what we do on Shabbos. We speak with Hashem at length, but we don't ask for anything. We don't ask for refuah. We don't ask for parnasa. We only want to be friends, so to speak. We want to develop a relationship with you, Hashem. Shabbos hi milizok. We are prevented from calling out on Shabbos, going back to the Gemara that we learned inside. Prevented from calling out, because Shabbos is not a time of bakasha. We're not there to solicit funds. Well, not. It's not even pun intended. It's true. When we daven for parnasa, we're soliciting funds from God. What would we have? What food would we have? What clothing would we have? What roof would we have? What heat? Whenever the weather is like this, cold, so very, very cold, I think because I'm a product of four Holocaust survivors, I always think about the Jews who stood at roll call. I don't know how anyone survived. I think the greatest miracle of the Holocaust is that we're here and that there's Torah. That Rav Aaron Kotler and Irving Bunim were able to build Torah in America, and all the Mesiras Nefesh of all the Jews who joined their enterprise. Greatest miracle is that we're here. Physically, how did anyone... We can barely go outside in coats. They were wearing wooden clogs if they were lucky and a threadbare uniform. So what do we have without Hashem? We're constantly soliciting funds from God. We're soliciting for our health. We're soliciting for parnasa. The heat should work. The boiler should work. The hot water tank should work. The washer dryer should work. I'm not making a joke. The whole week, the grocery should have what I need. I should be able to get what I need. I should be able to chew and digest my food. No, Shabbos, Hashem. I'm not asking for anything. Bunim, why did you call me? You don't have to tell me to come to your house. I'll just write the check. And Irving Bunim said, wait, this time I don't want a check. I just wanted you to come to my house. So what do we say to Hashem on Shabbos? Just come to our house. That's all we want. We want to be friends, so to speak. We want to develop a relationship. But remember, Shabbos is a day to develop a spiritual relationship. We do ask for our needs, tzarkenu. What needs? Ruchniyistik needs. And that's why, perhaps, of Shimshon Pinkus' next sentence is, what do you do on Shabbos? Take out a chumash. Take out a tehillim. Take out a gemara. These are things that connect us. That's the sentence that he said. We take out a chumash, or a tehillim, or a gemara. The Ragachavar Gaon famously said, when I daven, I'm talking to Hashem. When I learn Torah, Hashem is talking to me. So that's what Shabbos should be. Tefillah, tehillim, I'm talking to Hashem. Gemara, chumash, Hashem, you're talking to me. And after Shabbos, what do we say to Hashem? Now on Sunday, or Motzei Shabbos, you're davening for Rafa'enu, you're davening for Baruch Aleinu, you're davening to destroy our enemies, V'lamal Shinim al-Sisikva. So what happened? I thought no bakashos. No, because what do we say now? Aren't we friends? We're friends, right? So if we're friends, we've developed a relationship, please, can you heal so-and-so? It's very important to me. Can you help with Parnasa? Because after you develop the relationship, the benefactor wants to give. So of course Hashem is the one who always wants to give. He is the Tov Ha-Meitiv. But Shabbos is not the time to ask. So this helps us not halachically understand why we don't ask. Halachically we don't ask because we don't ask on Shabbos. We shouldn't have tzar. We're not allowed to be in avedus. We're not about to be sad. We're not allowed to have agmas nefesh on Shabbos. However, on Shabbos we ask for spiritual needs, vayinafash, so we should have a restoration of our soul. And then during the week we say Hashem. But again, it's not like a trick, right? Yeah, I can't misunderstand these stories, these vignettes, the briskarov, the wealthy mesholach, the mesholach going to the wealthy person. It's not like a trick. We're really saying, Hashem, we're not interested today in fulfilling our physical needs. It's not like a trick. Oh, today, I won't ask for physical needs so that tomorrow I can. It doesn't work like that. Hashem understands. It's genuinely, what do I want to do today? I want to be with you, Hashem. I just want to develop our relationship. Maybe on Sunday, on Motzei Shabbos, you'll want to give to me, because now we're so close. How do we become close to Hashem? We take out a chumash or a tehillim, and take out a gemara. 1 second. So is that supposed to say every Shabbat? It says, I don't know if it's supposed to say Erev Shabbos or every. Please clarify your comment, because I think there's a typo, not I think. I don't know if it's supposed to say Erev Shabbos or every Shabbos. Please clarify your. Are you saying that on Shabbos? We say Mishaberech for the Cholim? I think it's supposed to be every Shabbos. Okay. Well, if you remember, it says in the Gemara, in one of the footnotes in the Gemara. No, not in the Gemara. Rav Pinkas. Rav Pinkas said, and I quoted this, and I specifically said two times, I'm not a posek, and I cannot chas v'shalom paskan any halacha. On the previous page, we already quoted this. We don't pray for refuah on Shabbos unless the situation is serious. That's what it says. So again, clearly there are times, especially when the kehila is permitted to daven by the shberich for the cholim. I specifically said a rav must be consulted. It's beyond my realm. But in our personal bakashos, we definitely don't ask for people's refuah. And even when you visit the cholim, you're not allowed to ask for the person's refuah. There seem to be times, and we quoted this on the previous page, that davening for a refuah is permitted if the person is very seriously ill. Exactly how that works halachically, to clarify again, beyond my ability to comment on. Okay, so what we're doing is after Shabbos, we say to Hashem, aren't we friends? So now, please heal so-and-so. Now we ask for the donation. It's very important to me, Hashem. Through developing our relationship over Shabbos, says Reb Pinchas, we gain the opportunity to ask for everything all week long. So by focusing on spirituality on Shabbos, it grants us a relationship with God that is so enhanced that we are now permitted to ask for everything physical during the week. And not only are we permitted to ask, but Hashem wants to give. We gain the opportunity to ask for everything all week long. Since Hashem remains closely in touch with us, so to speak, when Shabbos has passed. But if we make requests on Shabbos, just to finish up here, we spoil everything. This isn't the time to request. This is not the time, says Reb Pinchas. Today, we put all of our physical needs and all of our business aside. Why? Shabbos is a happy day. Remember, we saw in the Gemara that if a person starts to daven for the chola, there might be tears, there might be sorrow, there might be weeping, there might be wailing. No, Shabbos is a day of simcha. Yismichu b'malchuscha, shomei Shabbos. Those who guard the Sabbath should rejoice in your kingship, God. That's what Shabbos is. We dress nicely, we serve special foods, we have a festive spirit. We develop a relationship with Hashem. We focus on our spiritual needs. And then during the Yemos HaChol, once again, we go back and we focus on our physical needs. So with that, I thank you all for joining us this Erev Shabbos. And I wish you what would Shivna say? He would begin with Shalom and he would end with Shalom. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom, a wonderful, uplifting, spiritually filled, relationship building Shabbos, spend with your Baruch Shalom and your families in warm homes, appreciating everything we have. Kol Tuv and Besuras Tovas to everybody. Thank you so, so very much.